Is it on?
Good morning. This is Deborah Johnson, the chair of the Uniform Voting System Advisory Committee, opening the meeting for July 18th, 2013. Good morning. Any questions or concerns about the agenda? Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
This is Al. The summary of your July 11th meeting is not yet complete, so we will not have that to review this morning.
Oh, how many wet noodles should we hit him with? No. Yes, Danetta.
This is really not on the agenda, but it is on the agenda. But it's scheduled for the next.
I'm having trouble hearing on the phone, you guys. Is there a way to?
Oh, sorry about that. The August 8th meeting, that is also the date that the national, let's see, what do they really name it? The National Commission for Elections, the one that the President Obama appointed, is having a hearing here in Denver that day. And I testify, so I won't be able to be here. Are you also out? So that's a bad day for a couple of us anyway, just to let you know before we get to setting a new agenda. But that is on the face of that, so I just thought I'd make you aware.
Well, after this meeting, or when we get to the end of this meeting, why don't we determine if we really need that meeting or not? The RFPs go out, and I'm sure staff won't have any time by the 8th to have any analysis done. So let's see if we really even need the meeting. We'll see. That was my thought anyway. Anything else on the agenda?
Madam Chair, this is Al once again. If the copies of the survey results that we've been able to pull out from what's in so far are still being, they're still being copied. So if you want to go ahead and move into the system requirements part of the meeting, we can come back, take a break when you're done with that, and I'll go retrieve those documents for you.
How many did we receive back?
I think there were 37 as of yesterday.
Awesome. Wow. Okay. Over half? About half? Good. All right. Requirements. One of the things I suggested is that we last meeting we went over kind of what the preamble of what we wanted to state in our recommendations to the Secretary of State, and just let me remind you or refresh your memory that that we basically still want to make sure that this is more of an opt-in versus a mandatory system, and that we would have a catalog of services for the different functionalities for different counties to select from, that he would not oppose any legislative efforts for funding, or we would hope that he would not oppose any, and that we need to look at for certification. And how is that going to happen? Is there any other things you want in the preamble? Yes, Wayne.
Thanks. I think the preamble is probably an appropriate time to also discuss kind of where we were earlier in terms of certain things ought to only be opt-in if, and I think it's appropriate for us in this to say, if you are going to make certain things mandatory with grandfather, that others should not be part of that. And I know that we laid out kind of a catalog of services was kind of the model for what we went forward with. But I think it is appropriate to distinguish those things that we strongly believe ought not to be part of any uniform system. So to give you some of the things we had separately in there, for example, were mailing. There may be some very strong advantages for a state contract with a printer that allows smaller counties or larger ones who want to participate. But for others, it doesn't make sense to use that mandatory system. And so as we talk about many services, I think it may be useful to say, if you are going to make some things mandatory, these things ought not to be in that category. And recognizing it's advisory, it strikes.
You're fading, Wayne. I can't hear you very well.
Ah, I'm sorry. Is that better now, Sheila?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Dev has shared her mic with me. once again, Denver and El Paso trying to work together here. Provisions, though, I think we ought to say specifically, if you are going to make some aspects mandatory, we strongly believe the following aspects should not be. And so that is something I would add to the preamble letter. I apologize for being distracted last week with the recall and some litigation issues we were dealing with. I agree with the general principles, but I think we have to, as an advisory committee, look at where the secretary is and say, but we strongly believe the following things ought not to be part of that mandatory, even at grandfathering. So there is no point at which I think we ought to require everyone to use, for example, a central mailhouse, central printer. There are other things that, you know, in terms of tabulation software, that may make sense, that we say ultimately this should be there. And I think on the grandfathering provision, on the looking back, particularly with the change in the voting system that 1303 envisions, there will be equipment in some counties that is not being used to the same extent. And so we now have backup machines. So when a machine dies, I don't need to buy a new one. I can get one of the other ones that was at one of my other precincts that no longer exists. And so I think that should be acknowledged. And there's, again, that this, even with a mandatory system, it may be many years before some counties need to go into that system. And so that's kind of what I wanted to start with on this. And again, apologize for not being as active a participant last time when I was dealing with some other issues.
Any other comments, Donetta?
I think another thing that came up, and it was on the Secretary of State's call this week.
Mike, Donetta, please.
Okay. I've got it on, but maybe closer. Okay. One of the things that came up in that call that I thought maybe we also ought to put down is leasing equipment. A lot of counties with the run back that he said that you have to, move forward with run back on your print on demand printers. Some counties are leasing that equipment and have leases with run back. For instance, so if they're leasing with a vendor that maybe is chosen, that has to be looked at if a county is leasing instead of purchasing. So they have to take in consideration about leasing when they're doing this and not always say they have to purchase, because some counties really do the leasing process instead of purchasing. So that has to be a consideration, I think, because of what the counties are doing.
Any other comments? Yes.
Just to follow up on Wayne's, I think conceptually I agree that there are probably some areas that are going to be more and less important that they be required. I'm just thinking conceptually. The problem you run into is if you've got a system that is built from a number of different vendors and you pull one thing out of it, do you then lose that coordinated, unified system if you pull pieces out of it and are able to switch pieces of equipment from different vendors or whatever to perform all those, the full basket of functionalities you want. Because all of this needs to work together and needs to be certified together, I'm just wondering if that becomes problematic if you start pulling things apart and allow for that flexibility, even though I think I agree from a base point of view that it makes a lot of sense to do that. If you start playing with the pieces, all of a sudden I start worrying that maybe the whole thing doesn't fit anymore. And it's more of that's just a general comment of how to think about how this needs to work.
I think that is an appropriate question to ask about certain components. I think there are clearly some components that don't need to mesh in. And most counties now, I think, are using a mix of different systems, and it's working reasonably well. And so that's why when I say that there may be a core that we agree or may concede may be appropriate to be mandatory, there is another category of things that ought not to be. The printing of ballots, the mailing of those ballots being examples of things that I don't think are tied in as closely. In contrast to some tabulation systems that you may need to have some match that goes back and forth. So I think that is an appropriate question, but I think there are some things that don't need to be part of that in order to function. And as long as we have certain machines that function appropriately now, I don't think that, you know, particularly given funding issues, which is why I think the as machines go obsolete or can't be used anymore or break down beyond repair, right now as counties we have that responsibility to buy those machines now. And so it doesn't bother me if there's a state contract and a selection process that says when your stuff breaks down and you need to buy new stuff, this is what you should get. I do get bothered from a finance standpoint, having been a commissioner for 8 years, knowing something about the overall county budget, and then knowing something about my budget for the last few years, with a system that says you must replace stuff that's not broken, you must replace stuff that's working just fine, and you have to pay for it. And I recognize that the Secretary has provided some very useful items in terms of the financing methods, but as long as ultimately the counties are the ones paying for those, whether it's a great financing method or not, I don't have five commissioners, actually I don't have any commissioners who are enamored with the idea of replacing something that's still working. And so I think that's part of the functionality that we need to make sure is there in a uniform voting system, is it can, we can replace it in pieces and it can still work. And so that's my response.
Yes. Deb Gardner, thanks for making that point, because that was what was running behind in my brain too, and that, you know, one of our overriding principles in, you know, moving forward with this uniform voting system is to control costs, and it just doesn't make any sense. It's totally counterintuitive to either buy equipment that you don't need to replace yet or to force counties to use a process or buy equipment that's not cost effective for them and costs them more money than they're being able to find their own solution. So I think both of those points are great. Thank you.
Yes.
Are you guys working off of a draft document or something there in person?
No.
When you're talking,
I got my notes here. Other than that, no.
Oh, okay. We're just working off notes and things that right. We gathered from last time.
Right.
Okay. Well, on that then, I think one of the things we should include is that there's no county in a significant need for the 2014 election that we've been made aware of. There was a conference call, I believe, last week talking when Jefferson County said that they've got a solution figured out, right? And so I think I've heard that some of the push to get this done sooner rather than later is that there's counties that need to purchase immediately, right?
Correct. That's correct. Yes, Connie?
I have one point. It was a point that Wayne had made about the financing, and from what I understand from what Mr. Secretary had said is basically that funding is now off the plate. You know, there's nothing out there now, so that we have to maybe perhaps go to the legislature and see if we can get something. So that's one item. And then the other thing that does concern me is about, you know, if it would almost be better if we could purchase the equipment all at the same time, you know, I mean, if there's any way possible, just because of the different levels, the different systems, because once you purchase something, it's basically obsolete. So we may have a uniform voting system, but we're still going to be all over the board with the different software and everything else. So perhaps waiting in a little bit longer, I don't know. That was just one of the points that stuck in my head earlier. And, of course, I'm still stuck on the funding issue, so.
We all are. So, any other comments on this issue? This is, so right now, oh, I'm sorry, Faith.
Just a point of clarification, and then I have a comment. So Jefferson County was the primary county that had a pressing need, and they have solved that problem, which, by the way, was something that I suggested that we come up with an out-of-the-box solution last week for that problem. And there are no other counties that have that urgent need. Is that correct?
Not that we're aware of.
I'm looking to Al just to you haven't heard of any. So that was the secretary last week was very clear that that was a very important factor, and so that's now off the table. And I know I'm a broken record, but I'm going to say it again. I just really think that we have a lot of good reasons to slow down this process and not issue the RFP on August 1st. And I would like to see this group come out with a strong statement if we have consensus on that. To me, it sounds like we do, but I'm looking at it through my filters. So I recognize that maybe we don't have consensus.
Yes, Connie?
I know we were talking a little bit earlier off the record or before this tape started, but I know we were visiting about some of the public comments that were out there, and I know I've read some. Deb has read some. I'm sure some of the other of you have also read those. And there's some, of course, very good items in there, which I would like to consider, of course. But I was wondering if Al could tell us what the process was going to be as far as the public comments and how it's going to be involved in the whole system. You know, how is that going to be looked at? How are those items going to be considered?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we have, as a staff, gone through all of the public comments that came in. We spent two full days doing that, and we've identified things that we think were good improvements, and we'll consider putting those in. Those will be considered along with your suggestions today, your recommendations today, and we'll come up with a final document. You're welcome.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
And Al, you've gotten that survey. You're aware of the responses from folks. So with Jeffco fixing their issue, is it correct that we have no county that needs to purchase equipment at the present time?
Madam Chair, Wayne, I can't say that. I don't know that. Okay. I came into this process in January and was told that there were a number of counties that were in need. Jefferson was the foremost among those. That's all I know. I haven't delved any further into that need. That was not really part of what I was doing.
Okay.
Wayne, maybe I can help a little bit. I know that he spoke at one time that the heart being on the older format of the, you know, being on 2000, Windows 2000. He thought that was a pressing issue, that I think he's looking at that. So I don't know, but that doesn't mean they have to purchase tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to address the concerns and do a and slow it down a little bit. I don't think we ought to slow it down for years, and I don't think that makes sense. I know that there's always new equipment coming out, Faith, that keeps getting better and better, it is absolutely true that if I waited to buy a computer till the next best one came along, I would still be using my Abacus. And I know that there are issues with some of the stuff that's out there now. So I guess I'm not in the hold off for a long time, but if there's not a pressing need to do it immediately because no one has to buy anything right now, waiting a month or two to get all of that public comment, incorporate it, bring it to this committee so we can make recommendations based on that, I think is a better way to go. Now, obviously, we're advisory. The secretary can make the decision as to what he wishes. But I don't think there's a huge issue with delaying it slightly. I think it is important that we have something figured out before the next legislative session begins. And so my time frame of when it needs to be is we need to have some solution in place by the end of this year as to where we think we ought to go, so we can then talk to the legislature about it. But we don't have to have it before the November election, so that's a couple extra months that I'm talking about that I think we have to do.
You know, there's a couple of things, I'm sorry, Donetta, a couple of things that we could add to that, the legislation and the certification, and really our law needs to be changed because it mentions 2002 on the certification. So if legislation could take place and with this committee saying we really feel that we need to move forward with legislation and start even drafting some type in our meetings of something we can kind of agree on to start pushing forward. Would that help also? A question, Wayne, for you.
And I think for me, I don't think we need to hold off the RFP process until we get legislation. I think the RFP process is likely to trigger legislation that says, okay, these three vendors that we think are the best have proposed this, and so we need to change the legislation in the following ways to address it. So I would like, I guess my timetable of what I think makes sense is to try to get that RFP process accomplished in time for us to go in front of the legislature to say, based on this, we think these are the best proposals, and in order to implement those, we need to make the following changes in the legislation, and this is our proposal.
George?
Yeah, as you know, I just wanted to say I think I agree with what Wayne is saying and a suggestion for a small delay. As the liaison to the public participation panel, I'd love to be able to see the work of that panel sync up with what we're doing here. They got off to a later start, and they haven't had their opportunities to have their meetings yet, and they're gathering information. I think all of that would make for a better process if we had a chance to get that information and fold it into what we're doing here. So I would second what Wayne is suggesting.
Yes, Debbie?
I would as well. And the only other question I'd wonder, and this is just a question in terms of what might trigger changes. So if we went ahead, you know, got the public participation piece, went through the 2013 November election, got whatever information that would come to us, and then at that point have an RFP before the end of the year that was ready to, go out there. Is there additional information that, or action, I guess, that were taken by the legislature that then would reversely impact the RFP? And what happens at that point if now we've put an RFP out there and there's legislation that either disables some of the things we had in there, or now we've got to add things to the RFP? I mean, I suppose you're always in that circular position, and it's kind of back to the equipment. Now, so go ahead, Wayne. I can tell you got something to say there.
See, that's why I don't like being on my phone. It's harder for you to see that on my face. I think the point you just made is the correct one, which is that as long as there is a legislature, they like to do things, and they get tired eventually of license plate bills, and so they come up with other things to do. And so I think if we go in proactively and say these are the changes we believe need to be made, that's a better posture to be in. I think if we wait and say, well, they're probably going to change some things again next time, we will always then be in stagnation. And so I would rather be in the proactive, this is where we think needs to be done. And if it's the clerks working with the Secretary of State and it's got bipartisan support, then I think the chances are reasonable that something can be done. So that's my answer.
So, Deb Gardner again. So what that would look like then is it's conceivable that in the I'm just kind of getting it sorted out in my brain here. So it's conceivable that the RFP could have elements in it that were not enabled by our current statute, and that then we would be asking the legislature to act on our behalf to enable, but we could put the RFP out there ahead of that enabling legislation, if you will.
Yeah. Yes, and, okay. And in fact, until we do that RFP, we don't necessarily know what may come back that right. may necessitate a change.
Yes, Connie?
And one other item is we will also have one election under the belt. We may have some things that we hadn't thought of before, which this addressed, and we may want to maybe fix something in the RFP, perhaps at that point in time, too. So.
Donetta?
The only question I have is one place in the statute it says that we must certify to 2002 requirements. I don't want to certify to those requirements. I want to certify to, you know, the very best we can get. 2002 doesn't even have the issues of the accessibility. So I want to go forward in at least the 2005 or the latest, say something like that, the latest that's been done. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen at the EAC, but we say something about the latest that has been written. So that's the only one that I think that we need to change in the law that might affect the RFP. And Wayne...
And see, I'm saying we can do the RFP with the let's use the latest standards, and then we go to the legislature and say, this is what we got, these are good things, let's change it.
That helps me.
Go ahead, Faith.
So this is Faith, and thank you very much for that, Donetta, and I agree with you, and I would like to see the RFP reflect the proposed latest version of the VVSG, which I believe would be in place if we had commissioners. So thank you for that, and I totally agree, and I could live with, I'm not suggesting that we wait forever. I'm just, the fact that the certification standards are in this sort of limbo right now, and especially around accessibility, and because there have been huge advancements in technology since 2002, particularly for people with disabilities. And we already have a whole generation of voting equipment that is not accessible enough. So again, why force counties to replace equipment with equipment that could be better? So it's not that I'm thinking, you know, there's always going to be something better. It's just that there is something better on the horizon. And maybe it'll be out there in a year. Who knows? Thank you.
Yes, Debbie?
Deb Gardner, I think maybe, so that's the first thing we put on our legislative parking lot, if you will, that, you know, that'll be the first change that we want to have, and then we'll certainly have others that we can add to that list.
And I think to give the flexibility in the RFP is, rather than say specific standards, to say, you know, what is your proposal as to which standards you would meet? Is it the 2005? Is it 2002? Is it the yet-to-be-adopted ones? And so I think that's part of what we look at then in the response, is if there's, and if, you know, maybe you've got a vendor that comes back and says, we're going to be certified, we're certified under 02, 05, and we'll be ready for the new one. And I think that's something we look at then in evaluating those proposals. But that goes back to the, let's get back what they come back with and then go in with the legislation to say, okay, this is the best deal. This is the one we think is the one that works. It's accessible. It's inexpensive. It's accurate. So let's change the legislation to fit what we think is the best thing.
I see a lot of shaking heads. So I think it started out with Faith stating we want a strong statement asking for a delay, and not years, but 30, 60 days. Let's talk about what we feel comfortable in specifying how we want to delay it.
And for that, I think we have to work backward to say if the goal is let's have legislation we can take, that means we need to get something, and having dealt with trying to get late bill status on a electronic fee issue a couple years ago and other things, I would rather it work for a regular bill. And so what's our deadline for a regular bill? And then let's figure out then when we would need to do the RFP by in order to make that work. That's my suggestion.
Go ahead, Danetta.
Well, one, we would have to start finding some sponsors. And the main sponsor, it would either have to be one of their five, if that's what it still is at the time. You know, they change their rules every so often and say it's only three, but then they give them more. But if it's one of their first bills, we'll say. And then from that point, if they've got it titled, we have quite a bit of time. I mean, we're talking about February to really come up with a draft, or they can even get it extended. So it would be getting sponsors that would be willing to work with us and asking for that. And obviously, once we kind of know what we want, to go to leadership is the way to really get it started, to make sure that we have support, whether it we're not quite ready for a bill, we'll say the 1st of February, we could get it in March. So leadership is our key point.
Yeah, but I think, you know, to Wayne's point, though, people or legislators have, like, October something to get their first five titles in.
3 in December.
3 in December. I'm making up dates.
Yeah, it's a little later. So, I mean, we can, but I still would like to go out there because people are already tapping them on the shoulders. So I'd like to go out there right away and say, we're going to need some sponsors. And we'd like to have it bipartisan because we want to work with both parties in trying to accomplish this. And so it would be one of the three bills that they have in, we'll say, December, and then they can give two more, I think it is, in January. But if we have them tapped where they would be willing to give us something in December, knowing that we will have something coming up, because if we put this out right after, we'll say, our election in November, because you've run through an election. Is there anything we want to change on this RFP? It's really ready in November, but is there anything that we learned in this election that has to be added? And then you've got it out there, and we know what our bill is in December.
How long? So, How long does an RFP need to be out there for?
4 months. I'm publishing it until you make an award.
4 months.
This is Al. This case, we've kind of consulted with the vendors and moved back from the original 3 months that we had to 45 days, actually 47 days is the calendar we have right now, from August 1st to September 16th. And that appears to be more of a norm these days. There were a couple of RFPs done in other states. One of them was down to 30 days, but they were looking for a very specific system and had it designed for that. It wasn't quite as open-ended as what we're doing.
So I think then we may be doing the evaluations after the election, but need to do the RFP before the election. Now, we will have, maybe, Bo and I may have at least run one election under this new system, depending on what the court decides today. But I think if we're doing the evaluation after the election, then that still gives us some pretty good ideas as to what things to look at in evaluation. I don't think we're going to suddenly run an election and have wide variety of things. Oh my gosh, I wish we'd asked for it. But I think the evaluation taking place after the election makes sense. And so if you did and I see Al may
October 1st, and that way you're giving them 47 days, and because you're not going to have time to evaluate until you get through possibly recounts.
Right. So if we say October 1st, send it out, and then with a December 1st deadline, because I don't think the staff are going to want to be then it's out for 2 months. The election's over. We then come back, look at what comes in December, and say these are the good ones. This is, and then we reserve the bill title, working with the legislator ahead of time, and then we go forward and say, here's our evaluation. That gives us December, January for that time frame. And then we get specifics of a bill. Does that seem like a timetable that works?
Go ahead, Al.
Madam Chair, this is Al. The thing I was thinking about is that it's not unheard of after RFPs have come in, if some major issue comes back up, to go back out and ask for an additional quote or submission on this particular piece, something that we've discovered later on. It doesn't undo the previous RFPs, but you're asking for additional information that has been done on occasion. If you were to discover some mind-boggling thing in the election that needed to be considered.
Right. So we could do that. The other part of it is, by then we'll at least be aware of what the particular issue we might have to address legislatively as well. So I think that gives us kind of the best of both worlds, of where we've got time for the public input and the participation. We then send out the RFP in October. We've got then December 1st for a deadline, and then we can evaluate it and look statutorily. So that's a time frame that I think works, but I may be missing something. But I think it's a little pushed back from where we are. But not so pushed back that we can't address things that need to be done in the legislature.
So, I mean, let me just kind of recap. It looks like if we're backing out, we're looking at an October 1st RFP release date. If you do the 45 days for responding.
Just do December 1st for responding.
For responding? Okay.
Make that December 2nd. December 1st is a Monday. Is a Sunday.
December 2nd.
I presume everyone who wants to evaluate it is going to need a little bit of time off. They're not going to be evaluating it in the middle of the Thanksgiving break anyways. So.
Okay. December 2nd. With how long does staff anticipate the evaluation period?
Well, in the present calendar, we have from September 16th till, you know, near the end of December. So, is that 2.5, 3 months?
3 months to evaluate?
Well, we're working on the timeline of the responses being back September 16th, and the secretary wanting to make a decision by the end of the year. So that's the parameters we were given.
And I think on that, we can certainly begin that evaluation process, and that would then trigger the need to go in for any legislation. Mm-hmm. So I think we would know as we begin to evaluate in that December, late December timeframe, early January, what issues may need to be addressed legislatively. So I'm not saying we have to have a final product picked in order to go with the legislation. And once you've got a bill, if you then need to amend in a committee, that can be done. But so if you're saying, you know, we may need a couple months to evaluate, then that may be clerks evaluating as well as the SOS staff evaluating. And that December, January timeframe is typically, barring a massive statewide recount on something, a time when we can do that. So,
did your evaluation time include demos? Right, that's what you're got. I mean, that's going to be take the biggest time.
That is correct.
Chunk of time.
That is
okay.
Correct.
Yeah,
and there again, it depends on how many responses we get back. But you know, we need to have a number of people evaluate all of the proposals so that they're evaluated consistently, and that would involve some members of this committee, probably some members of the public participation panel, members in our staff, as well as in the executive staff. So it's just a matter of how long, you know, if we get a dozen responses, or if we get four, there's a bit of a difference there on what the evaluation is going to take, and we don't know that.
And so if you're saying it takes a 2 to 3 month period, I'm comfortable with that. I still think that works in terms of legislation that's needed if we've got the bill title and we're working with sponsors and leadership to say, don't schedule it for a hearing yet. We've got the bill title. We may need to revise it, and that certainly happens.
And of course, if there is some urgency to get it done, we can compress that time frame.
Great. Any other comments? Sheila, any comments?
Yeah, I was just going to say, isn't there still some concern that we don't have any guarantee to buy or a number to place in the RFP to get good responses so that it's worthwhile for the vendors to put their time and energy into responding?
How much equipment that they, you know, that the state would maybe need, or the each county would need?
And Sheila's pointed out kind of the downside with my I don't want to force anyone to get it till they need it system, which is that may not then provide for a whole lot of numbers. But if the vendor is told over time, this is what will happen. Mm-hmm. And so I think we can do that, but we may not be in a position of being able to say in year one you will get this many bought, and in year two you will get this many bought.
This is a big unless we would possibly get funding from the state. And then if they're willing to, I mean, there's always, one of the things that we need to remember is in some vendors are willing to take equipment in and they resell it for at least scrap or whatever. Some other country buys equipment, and, you know, there is places they do sell equipment, used equipment, but, you know, that is a possibility. But obviously we don't have any idea how that would be worked out.
And also to that point, I think if we look at the experience we go through this November, we counties may have a better idea in terms of what type of equipment we're going to need to pull this off. However, you know, we're going to have to live it once, one election, I think.
That may be your additional question you put out to them is, in review of the election, the equipment that will be needed would be blank, and please give us additional information on that volume of equipment.
I don't think that we can comfortably even suggest an RFP date of October 1st just yet.
Why?
Because we haven't been through an election with 1303. We don't know where a funding source is going to be from. We don't know whether or not this would be a system that's cut over to within a couple of years or 10 years to give the vendors an idea of volume. And I think that we may have more direction after the commission looks at the current state of the voting system and makes recommendations. They could take it in a completely different direction than what we would have a decision for by the end of the year. So, I don't know. I'm just thinking that we're still not even ready by the end of this year for an RFP.
And I guess I would like us to go forward knowing that the evaluation process will then be looking at the election. But I think, there's always additional things we could do. I think going forward October 1st is reasonable because we'll then have the evaluation process after the election.
Any other comments? So is there, let me recap. We are talking about our preamble or our recommendations to the secretary before we even get into the specifics of the functions on the RFP. Like I stated, number one, I think our first statement and strong statement shall be a delay. And do we have a consensus on October 1st? I heard Sheila wanting more time, but is the others comfortable with October 1st? I'm not seeing any head shake or go ahead.
Deb Gardner, I'll just jump in here. I mean, there's a part of me that agrees with Sheila, but I also can see the value in moving forward in maybe an iterative way with the October 1st issuance of the RFP, with the knowledge that as we get new information, particularly from the election in November of 2013, that I'd anticipate there would be changes or additional questions we'd come back to the vendors with. I just expect it to be an iterative process, not a this is the way it is and okay, this is the answer we got.
And I don't think you can delay it any further than October 1st and still have a meaningful opportunity to prepare legislation to address needs that come up in the RFP. And that's why I'm saying I think the October 1st deadline we need to go with, because otherwise you can't address legislation based on RFP responses until a year later.
Danetta?
You know, one of the things that concerns me is the secretary said he's doing this by rule. We've all felt that there would be more comfort if there was something in the law that talked about this. But on the other hand, you know, let's go back to states that have statewide voter registration systems or statewide voting systems. The states have purchased that equipment for the counties in most cases, or at least a partial pay. I think I know one state that it's a partial, but the rest of them, they have paid for it, the state itself. Is there anything, and Wayne, you're an attorney, is there anything that needs to be concerned about with the counties saying, wait a second, this is county money. You don't have any authority to say that the state is making the decision on what we can buy?
Well, I think there's a huge issue if you're saying you have to go out and buy something. It's a different issue entirely if the decision is instead, when you buy something, this is what you need to buy from. So one of those is trying to tell, would be telling counties they have to expend funds they don't have. But if you have to expend funds anyways, then this is the machine you must buy is a different thing. And that's true now, because I can't just buy any equipment. I have to buy ones that meet certain standards. If I want to, well, both the feds and the state have limited the equipment I could buy. So I don't think it's as big an issue if it's a, when you buy it, this is what you need to buy. Now, we still may want to go forward with legislation to address some of these issues. So if you're telling, you know, since I was down there and running the recall in Sawatch, if you're telling Sawatch County they have to buy the same sorting equipment that Jefferson County does, I think there's an issue. If you're saying, if you buy this sorting equipment, this is the one you have to buy, I think it's a different matter. Now, I'm not an expert in terms of all of the regulations and other things, so we may still want to look at legislation that addresses that. But for me, as a commissioner, formerly as a clerk, I don't get as concerned if the case is when you buy something, this is what you need to buy versus you must go out and buy. Which then goes to Sheila's point of, well, then they don't know exactly how many are going to get purchased, if any. And that's true under the position I'm advocating for does not provide a guarantee. I would not favor a mandate that you must buy unless the state's paying for it.
Are there comments? So, I mean, we're still back on October 1st, or any other suggested date in terms of that we're recommending? Yes.
So if we shorten the response time for the RFP to 45 days, could we go with, say, a mid-November date? So that would, the election would be behind us, and somebody previously suggested that everything be ready to go before the election and then have that time right after the election to determine if there's any additions. I know we could do an addendum, I guess, or a revision after the fact, but I'm just wondering if we shorten that 45 days and we go middle of November, so that takes us to the end of December for the response, does that give enough time with the legislative calendar to make it work? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out.
I guess I've got two concerns with it. One is a concept that we will come together in the beginning of November to figure out what happened in the election, at least for most of us as clerks, is probably, if you bump it then, you got to bump it another 15 days because we're doing canvas and everything else. So I think it is too late to get things evaluated. And also, the other reason I don't have the 45 days is the vendors are supporting their election right during this time period. So that's why I would say we need to give them the 2 months at least, because they're in the midst of supporting the election. So, and then if you do it later, it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, and people are typically taking some holidays, particularly after the election when they're recovering from it. So that's why I came up with this system I did. I don't say they're infallible reasons. It's just I don't know that any of us, and maybe my peers are different, but I suspect if we've just finished the election and then we're going through the canvas and everything else that's involved in preparing for it, that if Al sets a meeting for Denver and says we're going to all come up to Denver and discuss this, I don't know what that's going to look like. That's my concern.
And also, too, I mean, with the addendum approach, that the vendors can be responding now to those elements that they can at this point, and it's not waiting for the whole thing to start at a later date.
Yeah. And so if some issue does come up, like Sheila mentioned, then we could then say, okay, there's this other issue that we need addressed in the RFP. Please supplement on how you would fix XYZ.
Connie?
I guess my concern is, you know, right now we've got a fix for Jefferson County. They had their own ideas, but how much longer are they going to be able to hang on, and what other counties are going to have issues shortly after? That's my concern about pushing it any further forward. It's just for that fact, because I know everybody else is just, it's a Band-Aid right now. So my concern is if we wait too long, then do we lose our chance at the legislature this year? Things happen. So, I mean, I agree with Sheila. I really would like to push this out, but I'm really not sure at this point in time if that's really the best for everybody that's really needing equipment.
Go ahead, Deb.
Well, so I guess my sense is that our default date is probably October 1st, that nobody's loving it, but that it's feeling maybe like it's the date that makes the most sense, particularly if we could make changes, addendums to the RFP going forward after, when we get new information.
I see a lot of shaking heads for the October 1st. A comment from Sheila?
I'm fine, guys.
Are you fine? Okay.
Madam Chair, could I ask that you vote on this rather than a consensus?
Okay,
just
sure.
For the record. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I would move that we recommend to the Secretary of State as that the RFP be delayed for distribution until October 1st, 2013, with a response date of December 2nd, 2013.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any comment? Last comment? Take a vote. Want to do aye? Faith?
No.
Wayne?
Aye.
Gary.
George.
Gary. Where did I get Gary? Sorry. Aye. Sorry. George.
Connie. Aye.
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 Aye. Sheila.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. It passed with a recommendation of October 1st with a response date of December 2nd. Any other issues we need to put in the preamble? Well, let me recap. We're doing the new date. We're doing and probably outlining some of the issues as to why we're doing this new date, because of legislative issues, public participation panel, comments, that there is no county right now or that we're aware of that is in need right now for 2014 election. Anything else besides those other, and also too, to continue, and I think we'll now, let's discuss a little bit Wayne's suggestion in terms of the mandatory versus opt-in and those items that are not mandatory. I would like to go that route versus saying what is mandatory. If we say not mandatory, and then we could proceed with that. I mean, does everybody have their little sheet like this? I mean, these are the big items that came, I can share. These are the big items that we talked about in terms of functionality that were initially kind of pulled out from the RFIs. that pretty pink or red and green.
So as a straw man, if you put up the staff recommendation and say the things that were red ends shouldn't be mandatory as part of this, is that a, why don't we throw that out as, let's start with that and then argue about whether they, we ought to move something to green or red, but using that as a starting
point. Yeah, I was going to say, because even the secretary had moved one item or something, you know, the other day, at least one.
So if we start with the ones in red saying they shouldn't be mandatory, are there ones on that red list that people think should be?
Well, I think that's fine.
Madam Chair, just to ask the question, you're using the term mandatory here, not mandatory. are you talking, Wayne, about what you said before, that if you're going to buy this piece of equipment, that's what it, you should buy this, but it's not mandatory that you do this?
Let me clarify.
Okay, thank you.
On the things in red, so ballot printing being one of those, that is not something that, because I buy ballot printing every year. Every election I buy it. Because I don't prepay years in advance. Maybe Boulder budgets differently. So we buy that every year. So my plan on that, or my proposal, that is, it is not part of a we must buy from an approved list. The greens would be, or the yeses as they're labeled, and this is my default. I'm open to moving one way or the other. The yeses would be, when we buy it, we would then need to buy from the approved list. But the reds would be, we do not need to buy from an approved list.
So you have mandatory and uniform, and non-mandatory and uniform, and non-uniform.
Actually, I really just have... I think there are only two categories, uniform and not. And the uniform is, it's mandatory when I get to the point that I'm buying it. And so it's a phased-in uniform, I guess is what I'd call it.
Yeah.
A phased-in uniform and then a not mandatory.
Well, I think there's one other thing that we kind of left out, though. We're talking about the RFP, and for instance, the e-poll book. It was mentioned in the, when before the secretary, when he came in, that there may be something, it may be a statewide that they're doing the e-poll book. Right now they're thinking about SCORE, but whether they buy or, you know, they really thought that they maybe could learn something from this RFP. Maybe there's a company they want to buy, you know, the secretary wanted to buy from. Should that be a separate RFP for the secretary himself to go out and talk about e-poll books, or should it be in this because it really is connected? And I do we want to throw that in the mix of how we're considering this?
I'm just going to say no, but to answer your question, just to be blunt. But I just want to piggyback on what Wayne was saying. It is just because we say the reds are non-mandatory doesn't mean that they're not in the RFP. You still have, if you were to get a better pricing in terms of the printing, then I think those small counties or any county that can't get that pricing would have the option to use that vendor as the ballot printing versus El Paso County, who already has an ongoing relationship with a printer, they wouldn't have to.
I agree.
Any other comments on this part? Is there a consensus on that, or is there heartburn?
I just want to make sure that Al had the direction that he needed.
Yeah, can you restate it, please?
Succinctly. Well, I don't know if I'm going to do that. Well, but basically is that the items on the sheet of paper that says comparison for discussion of items to be included in the UVS RFP, the staff column that has the red nose would be part of the RFP. However, it would not be a mandatory county purchase or use, but it is available for a county to use or purchase.
So they're the catalog of services.
Right. Correct. We're still back to the catalog of services, but it's not mandatory.
So the red ones are the catalog of services.
Right.
The green ones are the when you buy, you need to buy this approved equipment.
And just to clarify, then the when is the optional, non-mandatory piece.
Correct.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, if you can make your equipment last for
consider
20 years, then great. But when you get around to buying it, then at that point you become uniform with the rest of the state, and that's our recommendation. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, we're an advisory committee.
Right.
But I think that is working towards a uniform system. I don't, and I think the background for this that ought to be in the preamble, is as a uniform system, we support these things becoming uniform, but unless there is a funding source provided from the state, we do not believe it is appropriate to require counties to purchase these items until the county needs to make that purchase.
Anything else, Al, you need?
I'm really sorry to confuse the issue, guys, but is there any concern that you have a system and so you have a piece of equipment that needs an upgrade? The upgrade costs the county $50, but purchasing the new system would cost $500,000, let's say. I just want to be clear on what we're saying when you have to buy the new piece of equipment, what are the conditions?
And I guess my input on that would be that $50 upgrade is not a new purchase. It is simply updating what you have, any more than an oil change is a new purchase of a car, or replacing the spark plugs in your car. I mean, I think we just replaced all the memory cards in our DREs.
Okay.
So.
All right, and then our county has an offer on the table to upgrade our central count to the next version, which is going to be much less expensive, but it does require some new pieces of hardware. Like, they're going to take the machines out of our custody and bring us new machines. Is that where an upgrade is no longer really an upgrade?
I don't know that we want to get to that level of specificity in this preamble at this stage.
I just wanted to bring it up because I know that's murky, making the water very murky, but I think these will be some of the things that we will encounter.
I think you're right.
If we can't find funding and make a clean break.
No, I think you're correct. There will be those questions of, you know, when does it become, and I don't have an answer yet, and I think that's maybe something we defer for a while, but it's something we ought to be thinking about in terms of what our recommendation is for when it's an upgrade and when it's a new piece of equipment.
And I would like to add to that, too, because there's, 47 counties on HART right now, and right now we're not able, you know, we're working on Windows 2000, and we have to go to shortly probably to Windows 7. So, I mean, that's a lot of counties going to have to be upgrading at least in our case, for example, that's just three right there that each one of us are going to have to do. And that's it. That's going to be a significant purchase for the smaller county. So at what point in time, you know, do we determine that that is, you know, because 47 counties, and that's a lot.
Walt. Any other comments, concerns?
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
I would suggest, I know you have a number of things you want to accomplish in this letter, and how the system requirements fit into this, I'm not sure. But the timing issue is such a significant issue that I would really hope that we could get a letter to the Secretary today. Mm-hmm. On that issue, because it drives where the Lynn and I wake up tomorrow morning, and what we do when we do.
What a pressure! Wow, that is life. And
no, I mean things are moving on a track right now. We're down to a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And so we need a determination on that right away. And I think this is the first time that the committee has come forth with, here's a specific plan we would like, rather than let's just delay this thing. And I think it's essential that we get that to the Secretary today. I have no idea where the Secretary is today, but get that to him and his staff today, and perhaps not clutter it with a whole lot of other things. Make that a certain point. You have some other things on your list there that I think are important that could be supportive of that. But I'd really like to see us focus on that letter today. It would be my suggestion.
I agree, and I think if he's, because, and so it can be a very short letter. The committee recommends on, you know, and let me clarify. The committee unanimously agrees that they should be that. The RFP should be delayed.
Right.
And then a majority of the committee recommends that the date, or whatever the vote was, you know, by 8-1 or whatever it was, recommends it be, or with one dissenting vote, the committee recommends that the RFP be pushed back to October 1st with a December 2 response date.
For the following reasons.
Yeah. And
let's,
we believe this allows sufficient time to evaluate RFPs based on what happens in the 2013 coordinated election. Mm-hmm. We believe it provides sufficient time on the other end to allow legislation to be drafted to address the needs that come up in the RFPs.
And public participation.
Allows sufficient participation by the public. Participation panel. Don't use the same word twice. Allows sufficient input from the public participation panel, and still accomplishes the goals that need to be done. And there's not an immediate need to purchase equipment before the 2013 election.
Right.
Is that the salient points?
Right. Have one election under ballot.
Yeah.
What commission study?
Oh, the commission study that the recent, the one that's being done by the 1303 commission, yes, and that one too.
Okay.
To get that out too.
So yeah, I think you're right, Al. It ought to be a letter we can get to him today, because this is a significant issue, and then the rest of this we can put in the preamble as a separate
things. Yes. I see nodding. Everybody's nodding. Sheila, you okay?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure you're included, dear. Okay, so we're getting a letter out today. Al, you got your typewriter ready? any other issues now? I mean, and then we can draft this other one that deals with the funding issues and the, well, it dealt with the legislative, the funding, and what was the other one? Certification, funding and certification were the other two issues that we'll need to continue to.
Good time for a break?
Yep. Can we take a 5-minute, well, let's do 10 minute break.
get these copies.
Yes, I